Welcome back.
We hired an editor.
We're so official.
But it's going to be great. And I love the feedback that he had.
He said we're hilarious. So that's all I'm taking.
Should we advertise that? No promises. We're not funny. So we're setting the bar.
Actually said, I think, that we're entertaining.
Okay,
I can take that. Isn't that what he said?
So I think so.
Are you not entertained?
Yes.
Probably not. I actually was kind of eating it up a little bit. I was like, are we funny? Are we actually?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. If we could have recorded how we were actually fangirling on the other side of the call.
Mm-hmm.
Us?
We were definitely fishing for compliments.
Oh yeah.
We were like, well, is it actually funny or is it just funny because you know us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
What's new?
Well, okay, so I am 28 years old, right? And I work from home mostly. So a lot of the time, like, I don't put makeup on or anything because I just use the little, like, online filters where you can do, like, the soft focus and it blurs you. It makes my wrinkles go away on my forehead. Mm-hmm. Makes, like, I have some...
You look 22.
Yes, I look 22, maybe even 19.
Ooh.
Some may say. I know. So, to my surprise, whenever I went to the restroom one day, like, in between meetings, I noticed, like, I had mascara on this part of my face. And so I went to rub it off. And I was like, what the heck? And then I look at my actual eyelashes and I was like, wait, you don't have mascara on. Mm. And then I realized, oh, those are just the bags under your eyes, not mascara.
But we got called young at that bar we were at.
We did.
So maybe it's not as bad as you think.
Right. I also, like, I've noticed this in other people that sometimes whenever they're really stressed out, like the bags in their eyes, it's really not dependent on sleep. It's more dependent on stress or a combination of both. And for me in that moment, I was definitely like super stressed out, doing too many things at one time in my personal life, in my work life. And I think that was it. Cause now, like, I will make sure that I get 8 hours of sleep every night. Which is so unfortunate because I used to brag about this whenever I was in my master's program, how, oh yeah, I only need 4 hours of sleep a night and I can stay up and study and then I go to work.
But how old were you?
Not much younger.
Yeah, I guess your master's.
Yeah, so. Let's see.
You were an adult, like a full adult. You weren't like 18.
Yeah, that had to have been only 2 years ago.
I mean, you probably could function. But were you actually functioning as well as you think?
Oh, top tier. Top tier in class. Oh, yeah. I was, and this wasn't like early morning classes. Like this was, I worked a full day of work, went to class afterwards for 3 hours.
Okay.
And then would stay up until 2 a.m. studying.
That's amazing.
I know.
We should study your brain.
It's fried now because I did that.
I was going to say, or maybe one time I like heard this thing about like sleep debt. Americans have like so many hours of sleep debt.
Mm-hmm.
You're just having to pay up your debt now.
Yeah.
Full 8 hours at least.
Yeah. I was really bored one day and I looked up the average of like time that you're at work in a year versus like time that you have on your own. And the hours were almost like 50-50 in a year about how much you work versus like how much you just live your life. And that was kind of accounting for how much sleep you should also have in a year. So I think it like left you with, I don't know, like only just like a couple hours to live your life, essentially.
That's like so sad.
Expecting that you work a regular 40-hour work week, Monday through Friday, or like, you know, 2 days off in the week to kind of just like do whatever.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. And you know how many people don't work 40 hours a week?
Yeah.
Like work more than 40 hours a week?
How many people have two jobs?
Right.
I had two jobs up until the job I work right now.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I had a business and my job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So none of us are living.
Right.
We're and just like, working.
Yes. And then I think about people that are in school, that are in trade school, that are in like cosmetology school, any type of like schooling, training, certification that they're doing to just like up their career or even like starting a business. That is not accounted for in like the regular work. Like that's an addition. And then if you have kids.
Oh, God.
Wow.
We both are like, oh.
Clearly we're childless.
Okay. But have you ever wondered if you would actually be happy if you never had work? Like how much work? What's the balance of work you need to be fulfilled and happy?
Mm.
Or is it not? You don't actually need work. You just need like something else to fill the void. Because like if you had nothing, you'd go crazy probably with no purpose.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you have too much work, you go crazy because you feel like you're drowning in it and you have no life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're like little Sims, you know,
yeah.
We just have this little, like, we got to fill like the certain little like containers of things just enough all the time.
Yeah. I mean, like, this would be great if it was my full, like, this, doing puzzles and taking care of my dog.
Yeah.
And I guess taking care of my husband, too. Fourth on the list.
Okay.
But all those other things first.
You said, he's there. But he's not here. Not no, the
I
love you have. Just the care, the taking care. The love is, I'm sure, first.
Love is top tier. That care and compassion. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Drop it down.
Yeah. Like, if that could be my full-time job. Great. If that's what I could fill my days with, amazing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, currently, this doesn't pay the bills. Maybe one day.
Maybe.
Someone sponsor us, Chipotle.
Chipotle. I've actually been like, so I've been going through it. So I've been calling this melancholy, like, mood that I've been having. I'm just like, I will refer to the melancholiness as like almost a verb.
Okay.
Like, this is a now. A being, actually it's a noun. Mm. It is a human that lives with me. Mm-hmm. It is melancholy.
Okay.
And it takes over sometimes and I can't stop it and it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it is always about my job. Like always. I'm not really melancholy about anything else. My life is going great. Like,
yeah.
I recognize this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw my Instagram story the other day where I was like,
oh, she's spiraling.
Oh, I was spiraling. Yeah. It was just like, it was like a picture of the trees and then me saying like, it's so hard to be a corporate girly, something about like being stuck in an office all day. Like,
yeah.
I just want freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also posted one because my dad was whispering in my head, not literally, like, don't post anything bad about your job because you'll get fired. So then I posted one of the like cubicles and I was like, but I'm so grateful for my job and it's such a dream life. And that's the thing is like, I know it is a dream life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, I'm comfortable. Like, I don't have to, like, pay attention to every dollar I spend. Like, I have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Being single in this economy is, like, hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, like, I could go out and get a drink and not feel it. It's okay, you know? Or if I need something from my house, like, clothes, like, I can go do some things. It's so nice. That gives me, like, so much pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But the being in the goddamn office, I want to, like, pull the skin off of my bones. That's how fucking crazy it makes me. Like, I want to scream.
Yeah.
I want to be like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
We are animals in a zoo. Like, that's what I feel like. Truly, that's so dramatic, but that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, like, then I get home, and I'm like, oh, yeah, life is, like, about my dogs and my house and, like, my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get really sad because I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Like, how are we all working? These, like, weird jobs that have like no, like, yeah, they have meaning, but like no meaning, like, because it kind of feels like you're just a cog in the wheel. You're not like actually producing something that has like substance.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I get into this like melancholy mood where I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, what's my purpose in life? Like, this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't found a solution, so really this is just me venting. But it's like, it does baffle me. Like, every time I'm in the office, I'm like, who the fuck made this a norm, a social norm for us to show up, get dressed, look nice, have corporate jargon we just spew, and go to meetings that have nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And then we just like push like inch by inch towards some random vague solution and corporate like agenda. And then we just go home. Like, it literally baffles me. So, like, what are we supposed to do? Because there's no way I can do this until I'm 65 and retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if they don't push retirement age.
Oh, yeah.
Which they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'll get off my soapbox. But I've been, like, melancholy me is, like, showing up randomly and just being like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
We've got to change it. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I want to start a radical movement where I'm like, can we only work, like, 15 hours a week? Like, what the fuck are we doing?
Oh, yeah. Or even, like, the 3-day weekend.
Yes.
I would love that, but without working, because people are like, oh yeah, we can do a 3-day weekend and just work 10-hour days.
No, fuck that.
I want a 3-day weekend working 6-hour days for those 4 days, you know? Because I think the soapbox that you were on is a very important soapbox, but especially with what you do for work. Like, I feel like it's definitely something that you could do from home. Absolutely. But also, whenever COVID happened, so many jobs went work from home. And then as we've reintegrated back into society, why have we brought that back? You know, like there's, I need to find the specific studies, but there's research out there about how efficiency actually went up for some people, for a lot of people, like majority of people, because you're happier at home for the most part. If your home really is truly like your oasis, like I could see that being, you know, like someone being an outlier if that's not how they feel about their home. Like that makes sense, you know. But I think for the most part, most of the research shows that efficiency went up. So it's like, why do we not stick to it? Like do more of what works, right? And to your point too, about kind of like how it really does feel odd whenever the workday ends and then you just go home. And then it's kind of just like, okay, I just did all that stuff, but like what actually is happening? Or even like you said, if it gets to a point where it's like you have these meetings and like these vague solutions get made, like, okay, what actual movement are we doing? And if it doesn't feel like there's movement, is this actually necessary? Like, are we just doing this to do it? Like just doing it to say that we did it, to check a box of some sort. But I think it can feels so like removed from us or out of body because there can be just like a lack of emotion and just like humanism that's in work and just like work, especially like corporate America work, but even for non-corporate jobs too, like it can just feel lifeless too. And so it's like that weird, like, just like you said, like melancholic feeling.
Yeah. It's so weird. I actually read, so I think I might've talked about this book called Do Nothing by Celeste something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, in there, she talks about, I'm trying to think, because there's actually two things I wanted to like cite here, which is going to be a loose citing because I really suck at remembering like details.
Yeah.
But she talks about how we do not need to work 40 hours a week. Mm. Like we actually, with the technology, we need to be probably working like 15 to 20, but we are actually working so much because of just like in the capitalistic society that we live in, like the only way for it to continue is for us to do more, 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 and like spend and like all these things. And so we're overproducing to basically like keep us in the system, but it's not necessary. We don't actually need that much work. She kind of talks about how before the Industrial Revolution, people would do things like have a craft. So like if you're, say you like do shoes or chairs or like whatever, that's like what you do. If you make a chair, you own the tools, you make the chair from start to finish, and then you sell it. And that is like your craft. Mm. And you get fulfillment in that because that's what you do. And you can really hone it and you can make a beautiful chair because you're not just worried about speed and efficiency. Mm-hmm. You're worried about like, that's your name attached to it. You care about it.
Mm-hmm.
When the Industrial Revolution happened, we started making parts of a chair in a factory.
Mm.
We don't own the tools. We don't care. It's not ours. Mm-hmm. So it would be like, instead of me making the whole chair and then presenting you and being like, you bought this chair. Isn't it beautiful? Mm-hmm. It's like, I make a leg and then it goes down the factory line and someone else makes the seat and whatever. And I recently read an article that talked about kind of the same example and it related it back to Karl Marx's, I think, like basically theory of, and I wish I could remember it exactly, but just being like separate from our work and not feeling that like same level of like attachment and how it makes us kind of feel this like melancholy feeling. Like we're kind of feeling this detachment because you feel attached when you feel like you're providing value and you're involved in the whole solution. And it was specifically referencing what I do for work, which is UX design. I don't mind talking about that. So how like now we're so separate from the actual like end user solution. We don't have attachment to it. We don't care. We are creating the seat instead of creating like the whole experience because it's all of these reasons. But I kind of feel like that's a good example for a lot of the work that we do in general. Mm-hmm. Like you specialize in this one thing and you do that and you don't get to see how it actually affects people, or you don't get to like, you don't get to like build something that feels meaningful. And I kind of wonder if that's why so many women are going back towards this like homemaking. We almost like, I don't want to call it going backwards because I don't think it is going backwards, but it's like we started with this kind of lifestyle where a lot of humans had to grow their own food and like do these things to survive. Now we went to this like corporate environment where we're not having to do those things. We can like go through a drive-thru and get food.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of wonder if that's why so many women are feeling the call to go back to that lifestyle, because they're like, that actually feels meaningful.
Yeah.
And this shit doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so we're sort of like, let's go back to our roots. Let's figure out how to grow food for our family. Like, let's go do this thing where we actually have the entire process. So mm-hmm. we're not just like dealing with the seat of the chair. It's like, we're doing the whole thing and that feels yeah. meaningful again. I don't know. But mm-hmm. I've been really thinking about it, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I feel like something's got to change, because does anyone actually give a fuck about any of this?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some people.
Yeah. So there's, once again, so much truth in everything that you said, because it's so wild to think that back then people literally did what they let. Whoa. People literally did what they loved to make a living. That's a lot of health. Live, laugh, love, living. Oh, wait. Whatever. You get it. You get it. But like, that's how people made money. That's how people paid their bills. And then, oh my gosh, like, don't get me started on the Industrial Revolution, because that's whenever all this shit started going down with just work being terrible and awful. But also, shout out to industrial organizational psychology, because that's where it started, was the Industrial Revolution, with people like taking a survey on certain things, like in a Ford factory, for example, or in the chair factory. And it's like skills that you have, and then they would place you in these certain areas where they thought like you would do good based on your skill set, based on your craft. But also, I think that's why we've seen such like a big influx of influencers today, because there's so many niches within influencing. Like, you see ASMR stuff, you see lawn mowing, you see DIY projects, you see mukbangs, like you see podcasts.
I have no idea what that is.
What? You don't know what a mukbang is?
No.
We can do one. Okay. So, incoming. We'll do a mukbang. To pop Alexis's mukbang cherry.
Oh my god, okay. What is it though?
You'll love it.
Okay.
Do you like food?
Yeah.
You'll love it.
Okay.
It'll be great. See, doing more of what we love. Doing more of what we love, which is eating food. That's what a mukbang is. I'll tell you more. It's like a massive amount of food though, and you just eat it in front of a camera. And
that
people like
amazing.
That. Yeah. But that's like some people's passion. And then they get to make a living off of it. Maybe with a high cholesterol too. But I hope that they're taking medication and working out.
Yeah.
You know, what can you do?
They're fine, probably.
What can you do?
Maybe but they just don't eat. Maybe they fast for like 3 days. No? Okay.
We're not promoting these habits. But no, even with like homemaking too, like you see a lot of people recording that or like vlogging that. And it's also just like, it's such, and what is it with Leonardo DiCaprio? Inception.
Okay.
It's like one of those things, because a lot of the time whenever we're watching those things, it's because we like those things, but it's almost like a vicarious thing too. Like, we watch it because we're just so interested, because it's so far removed from what our life could be, but maybe it's how we would want our life to be.
Yeah.
And it just, like, it sucks that now you have to go and work a job that may feel melancholic, may feel a bit lifeless. And then outside of that, if we have time, if we're not too burnt out, then maybe we can do things that we're passionate about, things that we live, laugh, love about, you know?
Yeah.
But
we started saying that like ironically, and now I feel like it's slowly like just getting in the vocabulary.
Yeah.
Ironically, live, laugh, love.
Ironically, live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
Man, so that was our introduction. Welcome to Episode 4.
Oh my god.
I've also been doing some other exciting things. I just went to a Rangers game.
Super fun.
And I think at this point, this has kind of become like a tradition for me, my husband, and then our in-laws. I think whenever me and my husband were first dating, we went to a Rangers game with his sister-in-law and my not son-in-law, my brother-in-law.
Your son-in-law, yeah.
You know who you are. And I'm so sorry about that slip. Yeah, so we've been doing this since and I have started dating. I think
you got engaged At a baseball game.
At a Rangers game.
Okay.
Yeah. So the game that we specifically have gone to since we've started dating is a Rangers Braves game, because I'm a Rangers fan and he's an Atlanta Braves fan.
Oh.
So it's like where we kind of get to meet in the middle. Although I've kind of turned heel and I'm a bit of a Braves fan now. I have a Braves jersey. I don't have a Rangers jersey.
Ooh.
I have one Rangers shirt. I don't have a Braves shirt, but my Rangers shirt is like kind of falling apart.
Mm.
Mom, if you can make me another, that'd be great. Just tell me how much. Send me a Venmo request. So we just went to that, and there was another couple that joined us, and we went to Texas Live, which I had never been to before, but it just, like, it looks really cool. I see, like, Instagram stories of it. I've seen Snapchat stories.
Is it, like, a festival?
No, so it's kind of, like, a massive bar, essentially, okay. Right outside of Ranger Stadium. And they have an outdoor section and an indoor section, and they can do live music.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, have you been to Vegas before?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, like, the books, how it's like a huge screen with all these different, like, the sports books?
Nope.
Okay.
I do know the massive screen because I stayed at the MGM Grand, and there's like a betting room.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't remember literally books.
No. It's not actual. I think that's from like way back when, because it would, like, you would have a bookie and he would have like an accounting of all of the bets in a book. I don't know. Someone fact check me. So Texas Live, it has a big screen that has like whatever major baseball game is going on. We went there before the game, so I would imagine during the game they have the game there.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like a bunch of small screens with like other sports games on and stuff. And so you can get some appetizer food. It's two-story. They had the cute little like Ranger dancers come out. They did like a little performance. And I guess the topic, one of the subtopics of this podcast tonight is age, because I felt old again, because I was like, oh my gosh, they all look so young to me. And like whenever you're younger, even with like the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders or just like any type of like dancer for like a hockey team or basketball team, all that, like they just always looked so like adult to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, y'all look like y'all are 19. Some of them might have been 19 and 20. And even same with like the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders too. Some of them are younger. Some of them are my age. And I'm like, we could do that. Let's go train. But we went to Texas Live. We got a couple drinks. We got some food. Then we went into the game. And my husband and I were just talking about how whenever we're watching games at home, they can sometimes feel endless. But whenever we were there, it just felt like it flew by. Like, flew by. And my husband and his brother-in-law, they are both, like, can find a friend, make a new friend, like, no one's business. And so there was a gentleman sitting in front of us. They were all three besties by the time the game ended. They were, like, buying each other drinks. They were swapping stories. They were all joking around.
Aww.
And it was cute. I mean, I love to see my husband interact in the world like that. So that's nice.
Being
like,
a normal person.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, you have a heart and you like care about people. Oh, so cute. But you went somewhere much more exciting and interesting.
Well, I went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I did Puerto Vallarta. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I went during the rainy season, so it was super lush, which I learned. If you go during the rainy season, it's lush, but you don't want to go during the hurricane season because then it's floody. But if you go during January, February, you can see a shit ton of whales.
Oh.
Like, just, like, all in the water. There's, like, so many. You don't even need to go, like, looking for them. They're just there.
Hmm.
So, but it's not lush. So, it's, like, pick the time you want to go. But I had a great time. I went with my new boyfriend, which is always a little scary. Because, like, are you going to fight? Are you going to agree on things?
Yeah.
Like, you're together literally 24-7.
Mm-hmm.
He's so great. We had a great time. I think because we're both very, like, go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So he planned a couple of, like, excursions. We went snorkeling. We went, bioluminescent.
I know what you mean. I don't know the word, though. Couldn't tell you how to say it.
Which is, like, the algae that, like, glows in the dark, which is really cool. But it actually wasn't like the pictures. What the hell was that?
I don't know how to burp, so it's just these weird goat-like
sounds. You don't know how to burp?
No, it's a problem.
Hold up. Pause the Mexico conversation. Are you an alien?
No, I don't know how to do it. I think it's genetic. My mom didn't know, and she didn't learn until she was, like, 30-something. So I at least have 2 more years of being miserable.
How do you not know how to burp?
I don't know. I just open my mouth whenever I like fill a bubble and that thing comes out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I sound like I'm trying to eat something while simultaneously something's being shoved down my throat.
I don't know what the fuck just happened. But now I guess I know you don't know how to burp, and that's really strange.
It is.
Because I thought that was like something that just happened for people.
Yeah. I only burp unless I'm about to throw up. Which is not a good sign, because then whenever I do get like a random like, I'm like,
you're like, oh, I'm about
I need
to
a trash
throw
can.
Up.
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of throwing up.
Oh yeah.
Because the resort was all inclusive. I actually didn't throw up one time, which is fucking amazing, because I drank so many pina coladas.
Oh yeah.
Also, a pina colada with spiced rum. I think I might have told you this mm-hmm. when we were at the bar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had so many pina coladas. I just, in the pool, like, leached onto my boyfriend, did not touch the bottom of the pool. He just drifted me around the whole
time.
Wow,
what a princess.
Yeah. We got really drunk. I don't really know what happened, but I told you the story a little bit in front of his dad, which is weird.
Yeah, what a guy.
What a guy. I'm actually going with them on Sunday for, like, the first time for a whole day trip. I'm a little nervous.
They seem like fun.
I think they'll be
fun.
They
seem like a ball.
Yeah, they seem like a really good time. But it's like nervous going with your boyfriend's parents all day. Like,
oh, yeah.
I've only been around them for like a couple hours.
Yeah.
I think they think I don't talk.
Oh.
They think I'm an alcoholic.
Oh, oh no, we did not do any good to,
I know.
To go against that.
And I'm pretty sure they think I don't actually have a job.
Oh, no.
Every time they see me, I'm with my boyfriend, like, during the working hours, because I'm working from home, so I'm like going wherever he is.
Yeah.
And anyways, it's neither here nor there, but Mexico is great. I just remember coming in, I was in my clothes, mm-hmm. sitting on the toilet.
Thank God.
He said, yeah, honestly, thank God I was at least in my clothes at that point.
Yeah.
He said, he put a bottle of water in my face, said, drink all this really fast so you throw up. I drank it all. It was so good. I just kept drinking, and then I didn't throw up.
Oh, no.
So then I just sat there miserable by the toilet. I fell asleep on the floor. He came and spooned me, fell asleep on the floor with me.
Aww.
And then at one point, he was like, I don't think you're going to throw up. And I was like, I'm not. But, oh, I do remember being on the toilet and being like, he got me naked or I got naked. Somebody got me naked. And I remember looking up very distraught because he was just standing there watching me and I'm naked by the toilet, very vulnerable. So I was like, I don't want to be naked. And he said, what? Okay. And he just gave me a shirt. So then I'm just naked with a shirt, like a little gremlin, like a little naked mole rat. And then now he's shirtless and I'm in his little shirt, well, his big shirt, thankfully. And I'm just like, okay. And then at one point I had my robe on, don't know what happened to the shirt.
Uh-huh.
And then I woke up in the bed and then it was so bright because neither of us were like conscious enough to turn the lights off.
Yeah.
So I just said, it's so bright. And then he got up because he had to take his contacts off and was nakedly like stumbling around, turning all the lights off. Don't even remember him getting back into bed, passed out. And that was the drunkest I'd been the whole time, which was actually pretty good for an all-inclusive.
Yeah.
Like, I was really proud of myself.
Yeah.
But it was so fun. Like, the whole time, it shouldn't be this easy. You know, like, when is something mm-hmm. going to happen? Because there's no way that we are just straight vibing, like, mm-hmm. having the best time.
Yeah.
So it was so great.
Wow.
And then we came back. It's still been great.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder. Like, vacation mode, I feel like, always makes you, like, connect with someone so much more because you can just, like, have fun.
Yeah.
And then you get back in the real world and it's like, oh, we have work schedules and, like, you know. But, it was so nice.
Traveling, so much fun. I have gotten in just, like, traveling with your significant other, such a great time. Traveling with family can be kind of stressful sometimes, but if it's really just you and that other person, I am my best version of myself, baby, whenever it's just me and my husband traveling along. So once again, sponsor us, anyone out there, so we can...
Any hotels? Airlines? What else?
Airbnbs? Any of those things would be great.
We'll take a trip together. Couple
Ooh.
Trip be fucking hilarious. We'll record a podcast wherever we are and say y'all's name 50 times. That's a lot. four times.
That is like the ultimate litmus test though of a relationship, and I think like we were talking about that too before y'all went on that trip, because my husband and I did something very similar. Mm-hmm. we were together. We only knew each other for like a couple weeks, and we decided to go to Vegas of all places.
Which is a crazy one to go to.
Yes. So, and it was the same thing. I was like, it's either going to go great or not great. And it went great.
We're never going to talk to each other.
And now, yeah, or we're never going to talk to each other. I'm never going to see this man again. And we got married.
Yeah.
Not that day. Not that trip. But
could be fun, though.
Later.
That could have been fun.
We joked about it.
You did end up getting married in Vegas.
We did.
So yeah. It was like a full circle.
Yeah. Kind of like as an homage, you know?
Yeah.
And why not? It felt like it was going to be easier. It was not easier. It was still very stressful, but glad that I married him.
Yeah.
So I think we both have some exciting things coming up. I think mine might feel a bit better physically than yours. So I just finished the first quarter of my PhD program.
Oh yeah.
So 0.25 of a quarter down, 3 more years to go, and a whole dissertation that might take longer than that. It's been a lot easier than I thought it was gonna be. And I know next semester will be a bit more difficult because this semester it was just like an introduction to themes and theories and then a foundations of graduate study where you really just like learn about APA formatting. Okay. Because I'm doing a bachelor's entry since my master's isn't in industrial organizational psychology. It's in marriage and family therapy related, but not quite there. So I had to do the BS entry, Bachelor of Science, not bullshit, but it kind of feels. I had to do the bullshit entry into this program because they said, you know nothing, you have to start from level zero.
Okay.
So it's been like easy breezy as far as that goes. So next semester, the courses are going to be a bit harder. I have a 4-day residency that is 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Ooh.
So that's going to be tough because I feel like I can barely focus for an hour, but I really love this stuff. So we'll see. I'm just going to...
So how do you hold the job?
Take a lot of snacks. Oh, so 2 of the days are on a Thursday, Friday. The other 2 are on a Saturday, Sunday. Okay. So I only need to take off work for 2 days.
Every...
No. The whole residency is 4 days.
Oh my God. I thought you meant like for a semester or something.
No, that was my interpretation too. And I'm like, how do you keep a job with this? But no, it's literally only 4 days. Okay. And I'm wondering if that's why it's such long days. And that might actually be wrong. I think it might actually be 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Because I think whenever I did the math, I was like, oh, that's going to be
almost 12 hours. These are 11-hour days.
Yeah.
For 4 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to go to work on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the worst like week of your life.
I don't know, man. I really don't know. Could be the best.
Could be the best. You could love it. Could be the best. Right.
Yeah.
Why make so negative?
No.
Let's talk about that on another podcast. Why the fuck am I so negative all the time?
Yeah. Well, I think without context, there wasn't a lot of context. I think that might sound like a PhD might sound awful to some people, but I think if it's something that like you're just super nerdy and interested about, I'm having a great time. True. I'm having a blast. True. I love being able to read all of these articles, all of these chapters. I know.
Let me literally yawning because I'm like, oh,
it is boring. So much fun. So much fun.
That was a perfectly timed yawn. If I had to yawn at any point, that was the best time.
Yeah. But I don't know. So I'm excited. I think next quarter, because that's what they go by, is going to be challenging. But glad I have one quarter under my belt. Yeah. And glad that I don't feel burnt out on that. So that's the fun thing going on in my life.
Because you're working and doing your PhD, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And podcasting.
And being a wife and a dog mom and all the things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like living life.
Yeah. Live, laugh, loving.
Yeah.
So what's the exciting thing you have coming up?
Exciting. So this is something I just did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that I got my IUD taken out after 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I had it when I was in my last relationship, because I didn't want to get pregnant. I was like, not ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about the IUD I had is it's like the hormones are central to your basically like female reproductive system. So unlike taking a birth control pill, it's not having to be filtered through your body. So it's like less hormones.
Mm-hmm.
It's for 5 years. It's a low rate of pregnancy. So I chose that one and it was great. Honestly, the worst pain ever to get it in. Like getting it in for me wasn't that bad. I hit my mic. I did it again. Okay. Hold on. I know my best friend had like a hellish time. Just them trying to insert it, they couldn't even do it. So I think like the experience for everyone is different. But
yeah.
that was really quick for me, but it was like the hours after that were really painful. I just remember like collapsing in my car and crying. Oh. And like, thankfully I had my ex at the time, like drove me there. So like he could drive me back. But then I had 5 blissful years of like no period,
oh, yeah.
no pregnancy. I knew this day was coming though. And I always dreaded it because mm-hmm. I knew how bad it hurt to get it in. So like, how bad was it to get it out? So I go to the gyno before even my Mexico trip. So this was like mm-hmm. over a month ago. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, this is expired. Like, you need to get this out ASAP because according to like the manual, this is not working anymore. And I was like, that's not good.
Cool.
Because I have not been having protected sex.
Yeah.
So I basically go tell my boyfriend, my new boyfriend, like, this is like, we're new, we're pretty fresh. And mm-hmm. he's like, well, let's use protection. So we go to Mexico. You know how hard it is to think about safe sex when you're on vacation
and drinking
and drinking and just having like
an all-inclusive, baby.
All-inclusive. Do you know how many times I like looked at him whenever I was clear-headed? And I was like,
have my children.
No, but like, I was just like, you were doing a great job because I'm over here like saying things I shouldn't.
Exactly.
And then he's over here like doing the right thing, being a good man.
For our listeners, I was just back up, legs out.
Yes. So I go and try to get it out and it's stuck. It's embedded. So first off, I like can't do drugs because they freak me the fuck out. Every drug I've tried, I have like this panic attack about it.
Nice.
That's how you burp. Okay, gross.
Yeah.
As I've tried a drug, and then I'm getting a bath, found how it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. I get more and more freaked out every time I try something because I know that I have the possibility of having like a bad experience. Mm. So I had to do laughing gas.
Oh.
And thank God my mom was there. My mom is a nurse. Uh-huh. So she's like, you're fine. People do laughing gas all the time. Mm-hmm. Our mascot, the star yes. of the show. The only important one, honestly. Yeah. The cutest, for sure.
Yeah, the most handsome.
The most handsome in the world. And she's like, you're literally fine. But meanwhile, I'm breaking out a rash.
Oh.
I have a rash up to my neck. I'm panicking. At one point, I guess I say I need a break, but I meant from the, like, laughing gas.
Uh-huh.
Well, my doctor and the, like, assistant get up and try to walk out. And I'm like, no! Anyways, I don't know what the fuck is going on because I am just panicking and on laughing gas.
Oh, no.
But what I do know is she tries to pull it out and I hear very clearly it's stuck.
Mm.
And I was like, fuck, you don't want to hear that. Like, you never want to hear that. So she goes, do you want me to try to pull it again or do you want to be done? And I said, try one more time. So the internal tugging I felt was so disgusting and painful feeling. I was like, oh, I'm done, I'm done. So she's like, okay, well then, what happens when your IUD is embedded is you have to pay for a procedure, basically, where they go in, they open up your cervix
mm-hmm.
with a thing
mm-hmm.
that looks like that thing.
For, like, the pap smears,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. But it goes deep,
blah, blah, blah.
And they open up your cervix, and then they put a camera all the way through your cervix so they can look in the uterus and mm-hmm. see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to make a separate appointment, go to Mexico, end up going on a work trip. So like weeks have passed. I have a first period ever years, but I don't even know if it's a period or is it that something fucking punctured? I don't know.
Right.
I'm having anxiety.
Right.
All I know is that she tried to pull it out and now I'm bleeding.
And now it's,
And I'm feeling pain.
Yeah.
So finally I get to go to this. I get to take a Xanax for the first time in my life.
Ooh.
I was terrified.
Yeah.
And I take it. Xanax makes it so you can't be terrified.
Oh,
so I'm chilling.
Okay.
I'm like living my best life. But Xanax doesn't prevent the pain.
Oh, no.
It's just for the anxiety, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I'm not a Xanax professional.
Yeah.
But I'm on the Xanax. I can feel I'm a little bit like I'm probably talking slower. Everything's cool.
Okay.
The world could be ending. Who cares?
It's fine.
It's okay. We're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I get into the room. Like, I knew that I was a little bit, like, messed up because mm-hmm. I put my little skirt, you know, you get out of your clothes. I put my skirt on backwards, so I'm just, like, flashing vagina to the world because the slit is here. So I got my feet in the stirrups, like, the slit is open, and it's just, like, up. There's two, like, yes, can I help you? Because I'm bleeding right now. I have it out into the world. And so
yeah. Roscoe, honey.
And oh, so she grabs some sheet and puts it over me. And it's like, just because you put your skirt on backwards. And I was like, I don't care.
Oh my gosh. Not calling you out for it.
I know. My mom's just cracking up because she's sitting there. Because I'm like, come with me because I'm scared. Well, long story short, they try to pull the IUD out. It doesn't come out. So they have to do the camera thing.
Yeah.
They see it's embedded in both sides. So she has to pull it out of one side and then pull it out of the other side. I can feel this, like, internally. No. It's painful when she's like pulling it this way, pulling it that way to get it out. I'm like, oh my fucking God, like sitting there. I just remember it hurt so bad, like the worst cramping feeling too. And then someone, one of the assistants who were there to learn, like grabbed my arm and it's like, it's done. Oh. And I was like, it's done. And she was like, yes, it's out. And I was like, it's out. Like, I'm on Xanax and laughing gas. So I'm just fucking high. All I know is it fucking hurts. These people are hurting me. That's all I know.
Yeah.
And so she's like, it's out. And then it's still just cramped so bad. I couldn't even like process. But laughing gas is only in your system for like 10 seconds or something like that.
Oh.
Like you feel high for like 10 seconds.
Oh, that's why you have to like constantly. Yeah. Oh.
So like then once I took it, I like took a deep breath because it fucking hurt. And then I took it out. Everyone left the room. They came back in. They like told me what happened. They were like, it's all good. They did ask if I wanted a new one. And I was like, no, because I felt so raw. I felt like my insides had just been like cheese grated. So I might get one later, but I still would say the IUD is like the best form of birth control. Like if someone's going to do it, does it fucking suck? The day you get it in and the day you get it out, but is it like 5 years of bliss? Yes. But also, I learned that because it was so deeply embedded, my doctor said that side was not protected from pregnancy. But I hadn't been having fully protected sex, and so I technically could have gotten pregnant with a man I had known.
With a boy. Some boy off the street.
Boy. But some man I had only known for like 2 months, basically.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I didn't, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But like, the fuck? When she told me that, I literally just looked at my mom and I was like, oh my God, that's the most terrifying news of my life.
Good thing you went in.
Yeah.
Wow. And that it's out.
And it's out now. At this point, I'm happy. But also, what the fuck? The fact?
Yeah.
We have 3 minutes. I'm going to get on the soapbox really fast. Okay. The fact that they do not offer pain medicine for shit like that is absolutely wild.
Wild.
Yeah. That should have been, I took
illegal.
Tylenol.
That should have been illegal.
Yes. A fuck ton Tylenol, ibuprofen, a Xanax, and laughing gas is how I got through that.
That.
Her putting something into my cervix, my vagina, my cervix, and my uterus. What the fuck is up with our medical system?
So many things.
Anyways,
but yeah. So many terrible things.
That was my thing.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad that you got it out. Because too. Whenever you told me that it was embedded, I was like, girl.
Yeah.
That shit sounds uncomfortable.
If they couldn't have gotten it out that way, I would have had to have a legit surgery.
Yeah, you would have had to go under like anesthesia, right?
Which honestly, that's even better.
Well, again, just the levels. You know, like, okay, you get no medication and we're going to see if we can get it out. Or you literally go under.
Yeah.
What?
Why?
There's no middle?
I know.
No middle. Oh my gosh, I can't. Well, we hope that y'all enjoyed this fourth episode.
I was so angry 1 second ago. Now we're like, anyways.
We hope that y'all enjoyed this episode. And you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at
Feelings and F-Bombs. So all spelled out. That's all I have
to say. That's it. Feelings and F-bombs, all one word, spelled out, lowercase. Yep. And then you can also catch us on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But thanks.
Okay.
Bye.